go for the one that deep down makes you happy, that makes you live day to day and be where your feet are and not worry about next week's chemistry test, not worry about next month's deadline for sales. Like, do what you need to do so that you are happy right now and you know what you need to crush today.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today we're doing another one of those pod calls, and I got my boy Nicholas Flannery all the way from Albany on the line. He is a young dude, probably the strongest dude I know also. He's 24, got a two-year business degree. He actually heads it up. He's head honcho of Superhero CrossFit, which is also out of Albany. You guys may be familiar with that name, Fraternity, so we'll talk about that. And I met him quite a few years ago at CrossFit Regionals when I was actually just beginning my endeavor with Rock Tape. I was working athlete services, and I was fortunate enough to have him come with his amazing shoulder and come sit on my table. And we have been friends since. And he's gone through a few different journeys, and he's crushing life. He's following his dreams. And I wanted you guys to hear it because you never know, it may just resonate with one of you out there and change your life. So without further ado, Mr. Nicholas, thank you for coming on the show.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
This is amazing. I just finished up a workout. Nicholas actually just finished up working. I was working all day. He went and got all his groceries. So we're both like, you know, riding a good time here. So if the volume's loud and if we're excited, just deal with it, right? It's going to be a fun one. I'm really pumped for this one. Yeah, we were actually rapping beforehand, and I was like, I need to hit record because this is all really good stuff that you're saying. So, my dude, why don't you just give us a little – this is a traditional start. Why don't you give us a little background about yourself?
Sure. So, basically, coming out of high school, I didn't really know what to do. I was, you know, very normal, like, I guess I'll go to a community college. Mm-hmm. So, I basically – that's where I got my two-year degree. I really wasn't into much. I was playing a lot of video games.
All right.
Truth. Just kind of like trying to out a bunch of things. And eventually I decided to actually try and get in the military. That ended up not working. I tried so many times, and because of some wrist surgery I had and whatever, I got disqualified, and I was really lost and kind of upset. And I looked at that as my way of, I don't want to sound like cliche, but like, just like manning up and like becoming an adult and like doing something that a lot of people wouldn't. And when that door was closed for me, I was actually just starting like a CrossFit Elements program in 2013. And I was slowly falling in love with like CrossFit and weightlifting. And that's how it all started.
So you've been doing this for a minute, man, since 2013. And when did you get your L1? He is actually a level 2 certified coach. Are there more than 4 levels now? Are they
They're actually developing the L4 right now. I saw like James Hope on Instagram was like doing something for his L4.
So my dude Nick is at level 2. But when did you get your L1?
Yeah, I got my L1 in August of 2014. So on my 21st birthday, I was in Long Island.
This man is a baby. This young man. It's fantastic. And you know, it's funny. I got my L1 also. So I've had it maybe 2015. I got it. And I got it because I wanted to be the mobility person at my box. And I actually feel that everyone who does CrossFit should be exposed to the first day of the level 1 because it tells, and you know, you can, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, because it tells you, in my opinion, it tells you what CrossFit was originally intended to be, because CrossFit's so big now, relatively speaking, that, you know, it's hard to, you can't really standardize it. There's what people think it is, what Greg Glassman designed it to be, and, you know, what it's become. They're all different things. So I really enjoyed actually getting my L1 and was like, oh, this is actually what CrossFit was supposed to be, especially coming in as a physical therapist where so many people just like poo-poo it. And they're not even, you know, it's like, oh, you're going to get, it's going to keep you having patients, you know, which is wrong. CrossFit's fantastic. It doesn't bring me patients because people are busted up. What are your thoughts on the L1?
My thoughts on the L1, I mean, I don't want to like sound like that guy that like drinks the Kool-Aid hard, but I do.
It tastes good.
It does. But like, I'll tell you what, like the reason I'm so comfortable in like preaching about like how great the L1 is because I've been through ups and downs in CrossFit. I've been injured. I've had to get surgery. I've left CrossFit thinking I'll never come back. I've come back. I've gotten better. I've met so many incredible people. And I think the first day specifically of the L1, even if you're a little interested in CrossFit or fitness, like you learn so much and it clears up so many misconceptions that you see what CrossFit truly is. It's kind of like if you heard a rumor about somebody and you don't know like to believe it, or you just think they're bad. And then you meet them in person and you're like, oh my gosh, like you're amazing. None of this was true.
That's perfect. That is like one of the best analogies I've ever heard of it.
They just do such a good job of like, honestly, if you know it, you know, a decent amount about fitness and nutrition and like everything they say, whether you agree with it or not, like it's just fact. Like, I mean, we all know like, you know, processed sugar is bad. We know that, you know, functional movements carry over really well outside of the gym. It's kind of things where it's like, it's not a yes or no. It is, you know?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally agree. So for those of you out there listening, hopefully our CrossFit talk hasn't scared you off, but I love that Nick said that because CrossFit for so many people is, it's like that person that you hear something bad about, but you never met them. And yes, it's hearsay. And yeah, I think some people will be like, oh, you know, reputations exist for a reason, but also sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's just, they exist for a reason. And the reason is that the people that are spreading it are assholes, right? And they don't actually take the time to like learn about what that person is actually about. And that is CrossFit. And Nicholas hit the nail on the head there. You go and you take the L1 or you expose yourself to it and you realize like how awesome this community and this paradigm can be. You know, I'll say it again, CrossFit is not for everyone, but it is modifiable, scalable for anyone. And that's a huge start for a lot of people.
And the one last thing I'll say about, because I have to remind myself that your audience isn't all CrossFit. The one thing I will say that's super unique about CrossFit, and it's one of the reasons I literally changed direction in my life so acutely, is because CrossFit is the one of the only outlets or platforms in which you see people become truly selfless. And I'm not going to lie, at a competitive level, like it's, you know, it's a selfish sport as are many others. But when you go to a normal CrossFit class at an affiliate, you see people encouraging other people, cheering them on, you know, getting outside of themselves and truly, you know, just wishing the best for other people and supporting other people. And I get chills talking about it right now, because that's honestly an analogy for life and how to be successful is to don't focus in so much on yourself, you know, help out others around you and it'll come right back.
So. Absolutely, my dude. And I love that you are so passionate about it. You can hear it in your voice. And that's what I wanted with this podcast, was to bring people on who are passionate about what they're doing. I don't care what it is they're doing. And in this case, it's CrossFit. So like, I like it, you know, that much more, but I want passion. I want people to hear this and see this. I have a friend who sells cheese and she's so passionate about it. And I was sitting there talking to her one day and I was like, I am so interested in what you're saying. Like, I love cheese, but so interested in what you're saying because of that passion. So I love that. I mean, I was really excited and really pumped to bring you on the show because I was like, this dude's going to bring it. I already know he has that excitement. He has that motivation. He has that joy. So I'm pumped here. I want to actually tease out something you said there. You said that CrossFit made you acutely or, you know, starkly change the direction in your life. Can you speak to that a little more?
Sure. So once I started CrossFit, like I said, I've had a few ups and downs with it before I settled in. But basically, I decided at some point after I went to regionals in 2016 with my team, I decided shortly thereafter to basically go to school full time for biology. And I started to pursue a career studying in medicine and pre-med and just like science, because it was something that I knew was very challenging. And again, I knew it was hard and I knew not a lot of people were willing to commit to it. So I was kind of like, well, let's do it, because, you know, I love working hard. So let's focus in on this and like, let's get that laser beam focus. And I did I loved chemistry, but what was always in the back of my mind at the time I wasn't doing CrossFit, I was kind of like, I miss it so much. And I just slowly got back into it. And eventually I was offered, basically my boss now, who owns the affiliate, was like, I'll take you on full time, pay you salary. I'll make sure you're taken care of if you can take everything, you know, that you've learned and like your experience and just like run this place and like connect with the members here and like change lives through that. And I was like, you know what? Let's send it. Like, let's go. Like, I'm not even going back. And it's like, I was telling you this before we went on that, you know, I think it's not uncommon for people to have a couple different, and I'm saying this to like your audience right now, like it's normal to have a couple different paths that are appealing, and there's different reasons why those different paths are appealing. But I'm telling, and again, if I could say like advice here, go for the one that deep down makes you happy. And I would say makes you, honestly, I don't want to sound silly and some might disagree with this, but that makes you live day to day and be where your feet are and not worry about next week's chemistry test, not worry about next month's deadline for sales. Like, do what you need to do so that you are happy right now and you know what you need to crush today. And then when you wake up tomorrow, you're excited to crush it that day. Like, do what makes you happy now, because nothing's guaranteed. And like, if you're fortunate enough to have something that you're that fired up about, like, send it, go. Like, I don't know what else to say.
That's it, man. That is why I brought you on. That is it. You said something amazing there. Be where your feet are. That is like a profound statement that I feel like a grandfather or a grandmother would say to someone.
My dad actually says all the time. So
that is amazing. That's probably going to be tonight's DM. Be where your feet are and enjoy it, right? Something that allows you to be present in the moment and be happy about it, not wishing for the weekend, not hoping that you were on, you know, praying that you're on vacation. This was exactly the post I did last night, where I actually posted my daily maestroism at 2:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, because I was up working on my website and trying to get things done. And just, I lose track of time because I love what I do. And Nicholas, you've hit the nail on the head. Like, you stop doing things because you feel like you're supposed to do them. Yes, when we're moving forward in life, there's sometimes we have to do things because we have to do them. But as long as we're moving towards doing what we want to be doing, in essence, those things aren't that bad. We start to realize like, yeah, I have to do this now, but it's not that terrible because it's a stepping stone on my path to living my best and happiest life. So I don't really mind doing whatever this thing is. And my dude, he went and took it and ran with it. I met Nicholas, and like I said, I treated him, and then we were keeping in touch via social media, and then he like fell off the grid, and I was like, did you die? Where did you go? And then he came back and he was like, oh, I'm in school, I'm studying pre-med. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. Like, he took a path that he thought he wanted to do. And I commended him 100% on that, because it's not easy to start things again. And I think that we get so scared of time, but one of the greatest quotes I've heard is, don't avoid doing something because of the time that it will take. That time will pass anyway. And I think you embodied that. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go up to school, I'm going to do this. That's amazing. And then he fell off the grid again, and I didn't see him on social media, and I was like, I think Nicholas is dead again. And then he popped back up, and he was just like, I remember you, you know, we were just texting, and you were like, oh, you know, you're not gonna be happy with me, I left school. And I was like, dude, I'm pumped as hell for you. Like, if you figured out that's not what you want to be doing, then don't do it. It pains me to hear people that are just kind of going through the motions day in and day out and day in and day out. And I don't judge them. You feel for them. You're like, I want you to have that same happiness that I have, that I see some other people having.
And if you don't mind me like interjecting, I'll say too is, I mean, I recently like, for example, when I took this job to run my affiliate with my boss, I moved out of my parents' house. Like I'm in my first apartment, and I'll tell you what, like there's times when I look back and when I was in school and like, you know, I, like I said, I wasn't even doing CrossFit at the time because I took a break, and I'm not going to lie. Like I got so comfortable with a different kind of familiar. I was like going to the gym. I was like squatting heavy, I was doing like powerlifting and strongman stuff, which is super fun by the way. But I always like kept kind of like inching back to CrossFit. And, you know, I was living at my parents' house. Like, you know, I was like bartending on the weekends, and I just was in such a comfortable routine, mm-hmm. and I was so used to what I was at. But in the like back of my mind and like deep down, I knew that if I wanted to take that like leap and make that change, I would be happy in a magnified and even more unique, special way than my happy when I was like comfortable. So like, yes. I don't think one is like, you know, I think a lot of people stay in that spot, like you're saying about their, you know, they don't want to leave the familiar. Like that's a certain type of happiness that brings, but it's only going to go so far, and you can only help so many people when you're in that spot. When you get outside of your comfort zone and when you make that leap to do that, make that decision, that's when you can really start to do amazing things, I think.
I totally agree. And I love that you play both sides of that, that for some people, that's where they want to be, and that's fine. For other people, and I heard a quote, I live my life in quotes now because of social media, but I heard a quote, I was watching The Greatest Entertainer, or whatever the P.T. Barnum movie, it's actually very good. And he said, comfort is the enemy of progress. And I was like, that is it? Like for some people, that's fine. They want to stay there, and that's amazing. Nothing wrong with that. They're happy there, cool. But there's also a lot of people who are there and they're not happy, and they're staying because it is safe, but they know that there's more out there. They want more, but you know, fear kind of holds them back. And this is why I brought you on. My dude took a very less than traditional path to things. There's nothing wrong with changing your mind, going to do different things. Like I love that you're saying, yeah, it's your first apartment, you know, first time living outside of your parents' house. That's amazing. That's real freaking life. I love hearing this. And you're doing that. First of all, you need to follow him on social media because some of the stuff that you do in the apartment is so funny. But this is real life, real people, and following your happiness. That is absolutely huge. I want to touch on happiness and something you kind of dropped very nonchalantly before. You've gone to regionals. That is a big deal. Now, again, for those of you out there that don't know CrossFit, you can cover your ears right now, or you can look at the bigger picture and realize like this guy who I'm speaking to has done something from an accomplishment and athletic endeavor perspective that is very, very difficult to do, right? CrossFit Open, it's 5 workouts across 5 weeks. Everyone in the world can do them. Anyone who wants to, you pay money, you sign up, you do it at an affiliate, and you get scored. From there, it's broken into regionals. And the top 20 people, correct,
Nick? That year it was top 20 male and top 20 female. This year it's top – it's a little different, but it's basically the same.
So originally when I met this young man, it was the top 20 people. Like, so everyone in the world can do this. Everyone in the world. And they break it down into regions. And the top 20 men, the top 20 women, and the top 20 teams also.
Yep, exactly.
It's like the team's like a cluster when you watch it. Top 20 teams go to regionals. And from there, the top 5 of each of those respective categories will go to the games. This is no easy feat. Like, by no means. Like, CrossFit has a bit of a way of making people think that they can do things that they can't, and that they're better than they are, because some things are, you know, everything is objective and measurable. But you could do one, you know, great on this one workout, but be that's just you, and then you're shit at the other ones. And so to have this well-rounded athlete, this person who goes through all these 5 workouts, puts in the work, puts in the time, and is the top 20 of all these people in the region. It's incredible. So my dude went to regionals. Why don't you, or could you, tell us a little bit about that? And then this year, you're also going to regionals for team. Speak to that also, your decision to go as a team and the difference.
Sure. So, I mean, 2016 was great. I specifically remember right before I went to regionals in 2016, like, you know, I talked about the military and how I was looking for something to kind of identify with and it sounds unhealthy, but like I was really looking and I was really working for something that I could be like, I am X. And at that time in my life, I was like, I mean, I was like, I want to be a regional athlete. Like, and I mean, so many people in CrossFit say that. I knew that, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like when I first started, I wasn't that good. Like but I remember I was like, no, like I really want to go to regionals because it's hard. And it's something that, you know, you have to work super hard for and whatever. And when it finally, I remember a couple of weeks before regionals, I was like, I swear to goodness, like if anything happens and I don't go to regionals, like what am I going to do? And regionals came and, I remember like standing on the finish mat after the last event. And I just like looked up and it's not like it was, you know, the last heat of individual men, like everybody's watching, but you know, it was like a cool enough moment. Yeah. I looked up, I'm in like my hometown and I was just like, dude, you did. It took you like 2.5-3 years to do this. And you went through at the time, I just came out of shoulder surgery a year before that. And I didn't think I was ever going to lift heavy again or do CrossFit. And I was like, and it's done. Like it's official. Like, you finished the job, man. And then again, there were some ups and downs since then. Now that I've, you know, this year's open, you know, this was my second open and I was fortunate enough to finish in a spot where hopefully I'll get invited for individual. But like you said, I'm going to go team with three other folks in my affiliate.
So you're batting 1,000. Your first open, you went to the regionals.
Yeah.
And then your second open, you went to regionals. So my guy's a bit of an anomaly for those of you guys out there listening to this. Nick's the real deal. It's special to be able to speak to you right now. And going to regionals is no easy feat. And a bigger picture than that, setting a goal, a big goal, and then achieving it is no easy feat. And you did it. You committed yourself to it and you did it. You said earlier that you stepped away from CrossFit.
Yeah. So
talk to me about that.
It's super weird. It's not weird. It's like part of my story and it's super important. Hopefully somebody out there like can connect to this and maybe they're in that gap year they're in that gap phase that I was in. So basically what happened was after regionals in 2016, that was the spring of 2016 in December of the same year. So right at the end of the year, I had some weird shoulder thing happen, where I thought I actually re-tore what I tore originally. And I was like, I don't know how to communicate to people. Like I was terrified. I was like, my world is over. Like I literally just went backwards so hard. And I remember just feeling like this like sinking feeling in my stomach. And I just basically was like, you know what? It's time for me to hang this up. I'm going to school. I'm going to study biology. I'm going to do something. You know what? Like I said before, I'm cool. And I got into powerlifting. I got into strongman, stuff that wouldn't really mess with my shoulder. I came back super slow, like not even anywhere near what my ability was. And I actually had a really good friend at the time. You know, he's still my friend, but I had somebody there with me to go to the gym with. And we kind of went to a Globo gym and we would squat and we would bench and just kind of mess around and stay moving. And then, and that was 2017. So that's why I didn't do the open in 2017. I was doing that stuff. And he always believed in me. His name's Steve. Like, shout out to Steve. He's honestly like a big brother to me. And he always was like, dude, you like you love CrossFit. Like anytime we try and deadlift on the platforms, I see you like doing like high hang snatches. Like, stop, you're embarrassing me. We're in like a powerlifting gym and they're like looking at me like cycle snatches. And it's just, he's like, they go back to CrossFit, dude, like get out of here. So eventually I started back slowly, 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 slowly. And talking to you and like just researching, actually talked. Another big shout out to somebody, Julian Pinot. He's working with Invictus with CJ Martin right now. I actually like searched him down and like found his phone number, and he was like, "How did you get my number?" I'm like, "Don't worry about it. I need to talk to you." He just basically told me like, "You need to work on X, Y, and Z to get your shoulders healthy and get strong again." And before you know it, like, it was the 2018 Open, and I went through all five of those with my affiliate and had a blast.
For the physical therapist or any movement-based, any person that has clients, patients, movement is an identity. And when someone loses their ability to move in some way, especially when you're an athlete, when someone loses their ability to move in some way, it can be an existential crisis, a life identity crisis. And that happened to Nick. It's happened to me, you know, with my ACL. And I'm right now, I have some Achilles stuff going on, and I'm like deathly afraid of tearing it because you just see it happening. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die if it happens. But we know we'll be okay. But for, again, a bigger picture moment here, especially for my clinicians out there, movement is an identity for so many people. When they lose that ability to do something, it is devastating. And so as a clinician, you cannot just say to someone, oh, it's going to be okay. Or, oh, just don't do that anymore. No, you cannot say that. That person is going to go somewhere else, and rightfully so, right? You're telling them, oh, just be someone else. It doesn't work like that. I got quite a few texts from Nicholas during that time, and saw, you know, he was coming out of things very funny texts and worried texts. And I understood where that fear came from. Like, this is,
yeah, you were so good. Like, I remember I was like, I'm this poor, like I can't believe I'm like terrorizing this physical therapist that's been so amazing. Like, I'm really pushing my luck here. But like you said, like, you know, I just stayed in contact with you, and that injury that I referred to back in December turned out to not be anything serious. I didn't re-tear it, but like you said, just talking to you and staying in contact, I was super important.
God, I mean, we all need that. I think that everyone needs some sort of, I'd love to see a bigger role for, you know, healthcare practitioners out there where they don't have to wait for people to get hurt, and they can kind of do more consulting things. Because when you're injured, and I don't care if you are the clinician yourself, when you're injured, all your reason goes out the window. It's you're done. You're like, I feel some pain, especially if you've been injured before, because you know, you're like, I had this freedom and it's about to get taken away from me, and I'm terrified. And all reasoning, rational thoughts, they go out the window. I mean, I watch you in videos, and my man snatches like 15,000 pounds, and he would snatch in the video and then text me and be like, I don't know, I felt something in my shoulder. I think it hurt it. And I was like, you just threw up fucking 300 pounds over your head like it was nothing. But I think your shoulder's fine, but I understand where all this comes from. And for those of you out there, pain science is such a fascinating thing to research. Greg Lehman, David Butler, Lorimer Mosley, Adrian Lowe, I'll put these names in the show notes. They are leading the charge in terms of this, you know, pain science movement. And we have to start realizing that we are not treating cars or tables when we treat a human being. As such, their pain and their experience, or excuse me, I should say, their pain is an experience. So things that have happened to them in the past, things that are happening right now, things that they're worried about, they're concerned about, goals that they may have, that all weighs into the pain and the fear that they experience. You know, a shoulder issue for, let's say, someone like you who's in CrossFit is going to be more devastating perhaps than a shoulder injury for like a soccer player, you know? And so someone tweaks their shoulder, they're a soccer player, it doesn't bother them as much. They don't think about it as much. The same exact injury that a CrossFitter faces, that maybe for them, they're like, holy smokes, this could end my regional career. You know, this could end my, you know, run at the games. So many important things coming out of what you said.
Want to take a course with the Maestro? Head on over to www.themovementmaestro.com/workshops to find a course near you. Don't see one in your area? Use that contact button at the top of the page to hit up the Maestro and discuss setting up a course near you. One more time for the folks in the back, that's www.themovementmaestro.com /workshops. We look forward to seeing you there. Now, back to Maestro on the Mic.
What are your thoughts on the importance or the benefit, perhaps, of taking a break? You had like kind of an inadvertent break because of the injury, you got the injury, kind of school, but it sounds like you came back better and ready to go. Like, what do you think about taking a step back?
Yeah, so I think me having that really close call in December, I mean, I don't want to get like too wild and out there, but like, I remember that day that it happened. I remember I was like, this is like a crazy story. I was hanging out with, I was hanging out with basically this girl. It was like the first date we ever went on. You know, she's super cool. And she was like, could tell something was off with me. And I remember telling her, she's like, well, what's going on? And I'm like, you're not going to understand, but you know, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And she was like, wow, that's really bad. And I'm sorry to hear that. And I remember she pulled up this song by Kid Cudi called Love. And I remember just like thinking like, you guys can listen to it again. It's called Love by Kid Cudi. But I remember listening to that song and I was just like, basically the message is like, everything's going to be okay. Like you're going to find your way. Like, like eventually everybody gets lonely at some point, everybody gets down at some point, but like, you're going to be okay. And that like kind of was the perfect like way that things happened. Like, you know, I had that close call. Like I heard that song. Mm-hmm. I decided to go back to school. And it was like the beginning of this chapter of my life where what I was used to with CrossFit and not being in school and just exercise, like doing CrossFit all the time, it was like, I took a break. Like I literally changed my life for like 8 months. And it took me that 8 months to realize like, it's all I think about. Like I love coaching. I love, you know, working out. I love competing. I love being in the gym. And it made me realize like, that's where I need to be. And if it wasn't for that break, I don't know if I would have ever realized how much of a passion I have for this field and helping other people through coaching. It was definitely a good thing. I mean, if anybody's been obviously in a relationship, like sometimes when you take a break, it's like when they're all you think about and you're like, maybe I made a mistake, and then you come back and it's like, you appreciate them so much more.
Absolutely, man. It's nothing wrong with taking a pause, taking a break, and you can grow and learn so much and really appreciate things. So I think people are, again, time. People get scared, like, oh, I'm going to miss out, or I'm going to miss this, or there's not enough time. Take a break. Take a pause. There's nothing wrong with that. I love that you brought in music, and I'm going to tie this into that music analogy, if you remember, that you gave a little bit earlier. So before we started recording, my dude was just spitting off straight fire. And I was like, please stop. I have to record this. I didn't hit the button yet, but I want to make sure the sound is good. And basically I had told him that my reasoning, my rationale for starting this podcast and these pod calls, as I like to call them, is for that interconnected nature of the human species, right? That we're all in this together and that someone's story could resonate with someone else and just change, you know, absolutely change their life. Like, it's cool to hear from the big name people and famous people on when you listen to podcasts, but sometimes they seem so divorced from our reality. And we're like, yeah, I love that you're there and it inspires me, but like, how did you get there? My goal with this is to bring on, you know, regular, even though you're not really, if you ever watch this man lift, he's not regular, but is to bring on the average Joe and people like you and me that are still working through things and figuring things out and on the way to happiness, or in, I think in some ways more relatable to the average person than, you know, Beyonce is, or, you know, Gray Cook or something like that. These big names that you're just like, how, I see what you're doing, but yeah. So do you remember that amazing analogy, the music analogy?
Yeah. So I don't know. I like, this is more like kind of off topic stuff, but I basically made the analogy, like I love 90s hip hop. And I, you know, like I don't, like some of my favorites, like I love Tribe. I love, you know, Nas, Mobb Deep, all that stuff. And I was basically telling you that like a lot of the music and the content in 90s hip hop, I mean, I grew up in like, I don't know how else to say it, the most like normal you know, typical suburban neighborhood in upstate New York. Like, everybody's polite. Like, if you drive through the neighborhood, like, if you see somebody outside of the house, they're going to wave to you. Like, so you better wave. And if you don't, like, they'll remember. Like, that's the neighborhood I grew up in. And I just, like, you know, listening to, like, the music that I liked, I obviously can't relate to, like, 99.9% of the things that they talk about in hip hop, like, you know, like, whatever the issue might be. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I remember, and what I said was, like, it doesn't really matter if it's directly applicable, but with music and with a lot of content out there, like, even books. So, like, you know, shout out to, like, Barbell Shrugged and Chris Moore, rest in peace. The book that he wrote, Get Change, I get, again, chills talking about it. Like, he's saying so much of what you and I are talking about, like, just go for it. And again, his story was, like, about leaving corporate America and creating his podcast with, you know, Mike Bledsoe and, mm-hmm. and everybody else. Again, the 90s hip hop, you know, the Chris Moore story, like, I can't directly relate to what they're saying, but I can interpret it and I can connect and I can see it through my own lens and make my own connections. And that inspires me to change and make moves.
That's it. Take something from it. There's something to be taken from everything. It's kind of just how we look at it and how open we are to hearing it and seeing it when we approach it. I mean, you said that analogy and I was like, this thing, I almost tried to record while you were just saying it before, but I was like, I'm going to end up missing part of it. So I was like, I'm just going to have him say it again because it's so good. One, we're talking about music and I love music. The night's everybody. But the message there that in every story, in every person's story, there's something to be taken from that. And there's a connection between all of us. If you're just willing to kind of take a step back, open your mind a little bit. So I love that. Love that. I wanted to ask you a question. I'm like flipping through my little book here. I had made some notes. While I'm flipping, because the people are not going to believe me, do you mind throwing out some of your numbers? I don't know. It's like regional time and I don't know, like things keep under wraps. So like you don't like, you know, tell people secrets or whatever, but do you mind just throwing out there kind of like, oh, this is like, you know, good back squat day, good front squat day. What are your numbers, Nick?
The most I've ever snapped, my one rep max snatch is 265.
Man.
That's post labral tear surgery, post bicep repair surgery. So I'm pretty stoked on that. I've clean and jerk 335. So that's pretty dope.
That's super dope. Super dope.
And then, yeah, those are like my OLLI lifts and then like back squatting. If I hit five, that's a pretty good day.
My goodness. Yeah. 500 pounds, people. That is insane.
It's all relative though. Like, all I do, like, especially with my job, like all I do is work out. So like, I, you know, when people ask me, I'm like, honestly, like you'd be lifting X if you worked out all day too. Like,
People out there don't believe him. <That's>, there's some stupid numbers and some people out there, no, you're just never going to lift that much. It doesn't work that way. For perspective, how big are you, Nick?
I'm weighing in at like 188.
Exactly. And five what?
5'11".
Right. My man's not a giant. Like he's not, you know, 6'5", 260. Like average size guy, 5'11", 188, you said, and he's throwing up this kind of stupid weight. I'm telling you, just watch his, you like restarted your Instagram account and you had like two videos on there. And one of them was like, you're like front squatting 400 pounds. And I was like, what in the hell? This man.
No, I needed a break from social media. And like, I work with Brandon Peterson in New Hampshire at CrossFit Free. And he gets so frustrated because like, I've made like two Instagram accounts. And then if I don't just delete the app from my phone, I like delete the account. And he's like, I've honestly, like, I'm just going to stop following you. And I'm like, whatever.
Exactly. I thought you were dead. I was like, where did this guy go? Cause usually like the person just stops using it. And so they're like, at their account is still there. I went looking for him and I was like, I literally think he's dead. I don't know what happened to this guy. Like, I don't know what happened to this guy. Can you talk a little bit? We'll wrap it up soon, but can you talk a little bit about your surgery, kind of how you heard it going into surgery then and rehab and kind of coming back after it? Because this is something that other people experience.
Yeah, this is a pretty crazy story too. So I don't know for sure. I think I tore my labrum and bicep tendon back in, what was it, July or August of 2014. So I was still super, super fresh into CrossFit. It was actually, I cringe talking about it sometimes, but I remember in the 2014 games, I believe one of the events for the individuals was a one rep max overhead squat. And sure enough, the next day we ended up doing a one rep max overhead squat and I put up a weight that I just knew I shouldn't be doing. And I was just like, oh, my shoulder's not right. So I basically continued training for a little while, a few months. I eventually got asked to work out at my affiliate fraternity where Mike and Molly Abgarian were training, and they're like amazing games athletes. You know, they've been like countless times as a team. And basically they're like, hey, like we want you to train with us. And at the time it was like such an ego boost. And I was like, what? Like me? Like I've only been doing CrossFit for a year and a half and you know, you want me to train with you? And I basically left the affiliate that I was started at and I started at fraternity and they kind of slowly like, you know, worked me into the community there. And basically they had a really, really good team and they were like, oh, come train with us. And I'm like, all right, great. Let's do it. And then they started talking about the games and regionals and I'm like, wow, like that happened quick. And I remember thinking like, I'm not that good yet. Like I'm in a little over my head here. And I just remember training one day and we, you know, I did a lift and I felt my shoulder go. And like, I felt my shoulder go. Mm-hmm. And I literally like broke down hysterically crying. Like I know that this year is 100% out of the cards. And I was just like so devastated. And I basically got the arthrogram results back and they're like, you have X, you need to get surgery, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fine, let's do it. And they're like, don't expect to come back because you have a very bad tear. And I'm like, whatever, just fix it and we'll see what happens. I didn't do that much PT. I just kind of kept moving. Mm-hmm. Kind of eased back into everything and, and I like just got back into it and seriously, thank God, like I was able to come back, but basically, you know, that started off in the 2016 and then whatever, you know, we already covered the rest of the story, but that injury, like you said, was just so scary. And I had a rock star surgeon. He did such a good job. And, yeah, that was that whole experience.
So many points that I've written down from that story. So many. One, again, tying into, for the clinicians out there, and just for people in general, tying into that pain science concept. He's talking about a surgery that happened a long time, you know, not that long, happened 2 years ago, an injury that happened before then, and still cringes about it. The body remembers, the nervous system remembers. And you can bet when he goes to do certain movements, it doesn't as readily grant him that movement because it says, hey, we remember that we maybe got hurt doing this. And so there's a huge component to rehab that if someone's trying to get back to that same movement that requires them to get back on the horse, not just so that the shoulder tissues are okay, because the tissues, they can handle it, but so that the nervous system and that person's belief system is on board and says, yeah, we still definitely got this. We're going to be okay. That ties into what he was saying earlier, where he felt a tweak, you know, not that long ago. And, you know, the world comes tumbling down because your nervous system says, oh my God, I remember this. This was really bad for us last time. Even though the tissues are like, nah, son, we okay.
I don't want to interrupt, but when you're like talking about the nervous system, it's like all I'm picturing right now is like a really anxious like person and they're like biting their nails and they're like, oh my gosh, this is awful. What's happening? It's like everybody knows somebody like that. And like after an injury, like that's basically what your nervous system does. And like, I remember like, you know, what I hurt my shoulder on was in a heavy overhead squat. And like back in the beginning of February, a one rep overhead squat came up in my programming and I was terrified because I was like, I want to do well. I want to be like, you know, I want to get better, but I also like, that's like the thing that I'm like scared most of. And, you know, it, you know, we got through it, but like, It's just, absolutely. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Body. That's that, the nervousness of the body remembers. And that's the perfect analogy. It's actually a great teaching tool. You just said that person sitting in the corner is like, oh God, I'm so nervous. That is your sympathetic nervous system. That is your flight or fight response. When we're scared, that is what kicks up. And one of the goals as a therapist is to try and get that person out of that sympathetic state into a more parasympathetic state, that rest and digest system that would look more like a surfer. That's like, yeah, man, it's cool. We got this. Like everything's going to be okay. And as we can shift you to doing that, we see performance can improve. Like obviously we don't want you to be in this like super relaxed dead state when you're trying to perform, but your views towards it, your approach towards things. Yeah. We want to kind of get, calm those nerves and get that nervous system on board. And that's a perfect analogy, that person in the corner biting their, and that's like 100%. So you guys out there that are, you know, clinicians or just you work with humans or you just want to learn more, look at the show notes. I got some of those pain science big names. So you can start to kind of tease this out a little bit more, because an injury is so much more than what happens to the tissue, right? There's a human attached to that tissue. So, you know, you gotta,
and I,
then I'm like, go ahead.
I also, no, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just like, I can't, as you say all this, I can't, like my mind keeps going back to like, how important it is to have like a support group. So yes. People every day tell you like, dude, you're fine. Like, I remember like, you know, my boss that I keep referring to, Blake Hannon, he you know, if he sees me like freaking out or like pacing in a circle before I do a lift, he's like, Hey, you're good. And I'm like to have that support. And like, you know, I can't tell you, you know, Shantae, like how I really can't sit. I can't overemphasize this. Being able those few times to DM you or text you and be like, oh my gosh, this is happening or whatever. And you were just like, hey, what's up, man? Like, it's totally cool. No problem. You're probably good. Like, don't freak out. Like, I know it took like 30 seconds of your day and you might have rolled your eyes when you opened the text, but I can't tell you how much better that made me feel and how much like peace I got from that. So if anybody's out there and you're coming back from like an injury or whatever, like, you know, don't be afraid to like lean on the people around you and trust your own ability and know that you got this.
Dude, you are, first of all, your texts, they bring me the biggest smiles. I like laugh. I'm like, this guy is my dude. So the text is my pleasure to write back. I always found a great amount of humor, not in your suffering, because he wasn't on the floor crying or anything. It was just, I was like,
no, it was me. Laying in bed and being like, oh my gosh, wait, I feel this. And then
and that's part of being a therapist, part of being a physical therapist, is that psychosocial component and realizing like, this is real. This matters to this person. And so much of the time, what you say to them is more important than what you do to them. I mean, my dude didn't go to very much PT. I can't say I'd advise that, but he was really young. He's athletic. And for the PTs out there, let this be a lesson that people are going to get better whether you treat them or not. They may not return to full functionality, but they're going to get better, especially after they have surgery. So what does that mean that your job is? Your job is to help them get better faster. Your job is to kind of hold their hand through things. Your job is to prevent them from, help them or work with them to prevent this from happening again. PTs should really be used in that kind of prophylactic way where it's like, hey, let's figure out why this thing happened in the first place, especially when it's kind of like an overuse injury, which really is a misuse injury. Like that's where PTs come in because tissue heals. I think that physical therapists and young physical therapists, they get so caught up in like, oh, what manual treatment am I going to do? What technique am I going to, you know, that person's tissues are going to heal. Right? A lot of the time your role early on is to make sure that they don't do too many crazy things. For some people, it's to encourage movement. It really depends on where that patient is at. But your job is to treat that human, help them out with the pain, educate them, and help get them back to full functionality and then prevent things from happening again. You know, I am saddened to hear that, you know, the fear mongering that still goes on where, you know, a person goes in for surgery like you did and people will be like, oh, yeah, well, this is the end. You're like, you never can do anything again. That's not the case. Like the human body is incredibly resilient. And in that same breath, I champion, you know, not getting surgery, but hey, guess what? Sometimes surgery is needed. I am not anti-surgery. I'm just very pro not surgery. And so when the time comes up, because it happens, I think that when you look at social media and you follow certain names on social media, you kind of get this feeling that like everything can be solved by just doing corrective exercises. And that's not always the case, especially depending on what that person's trying to get back to. Sometimes surgery is required, but we still, and I say we, physical therapists still have a huge role there. And one, prehab, and then two, kind of helping them out in any way afterwards, whether it's that you're actually doing rehab with them, that you're providing them with some guidance, some understanding. There's lots of roles to be filled there. But just, you know, kind of taking a step back and seeing the bigger picture, because I'm always about that, and looking at Nicholas's experience and just, one, how that affects your psyche, how that affects your life. Two, now you're not perpetuating these fear stereotypes of, oh, you're done, this is it, this is the end, because people get better. And then, you know, three, maybe you're wearing a little bit of a different hat as a physical therapist than just kind of being like, it's going to be okay. Let's get you to be a little bit less of that person in the corner biting your nails and more of that surfer that's like, ah, yeah, we got this. Let's get back to where we were. It's all going to be cool. I got another question for you. Go ahead. Talk.
Yeah, the one thing I do want to say as I listen to this, as you say all that, the one thing I want to say too, that's helped me so much throughout the past roller coaster of 5 years that it's been since I first started CrossFit was, I believe I mentioned him, before we went live, one of my teammates, Shane Robichaud, he's in law enforcement. He's like the polar opposite of me personality wise. And at first we didn't really get along. I mean, he's an amazing athlete. He finished 24th in the Northeast this year. And him and I, originally didn't mesh too well, but after we kind of sorted things out and we talked and everything, we had some really cool moments and exchange of ideas. And one of the things he said to me, that's really stuck and that really helps with a lot is he said, you don't always, need to think about how you feel about something that's about to happen, i.e. a workout or, how you feel about something situation that you're in, like just go for it. And if you don't take a temperature of how you feel, it's going to be a lot easier. Just get it done. Mm-hmm. Like get it done because it has to get done. Basically. And you don't have to feel, good about everything. Just turn it off and go and just do it because it has to be done.
I love that. You don't have to feel good about everything. That is huge in so many things. Yes, we're talking directly right now about CrossFit and lifts. And I said this to, one of the women I work out with all the time, cause she'll lift it and then she's incredibly strong. And she goes, this feels heavy. I'm like, it's supposed to, like, it's not always supposed to feel great. You don't have to agree with or be happy about, feel good about everything that's going on. So that is a huge lesson. And then, tie that into life. Like, somebody's just got to do it. It's got to go. Get outside of your head for 2 seconds. But speaking of that, just going, can you talk a little bit before I wrap this up? Can you talk a little bit about becoming a head coach, being a head coach, the transition into that, how that role has been? Just anything you want to wrap about that? I know there's people out there thinking about opening up their own boxes that are, maybe trying to transition into the head coach role. Just what's your experience?
Yeah. So the one really cool thing is when I first started, I remember interning, when I first was remotely interested in CrossFit and I would just watch people coach all the way up to where I'm at now, as running an affiliate basically with help. I really can't emphasize enough how important it is. I just want to say that, I have amazing members at my affiliate and they're all great, but what makes someone a great coach isn't like, they don't really care where I placed in the open. They don't care what my lifts are. They don't really, they don't care about that. What they do care about is the fact that they're being looked after, the fact that I genuinely want them to succeed, the fact that I genuinely have their best interest in mind when I say to no, let's have you do DT at 115 and not 155. Or just coaching. Like I remember at my L1, back when I got that, Austin Maliello was my floor master.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, he is like the coolest dude. And I look up to him so much. I honestly, I hope to meet him again one day and have this, tell him thank you. But he basically at the end of the L1, he was like, after everybody took their tests and literally like 2 minutes before we were all about to get in our cars and go home. He goes, you cannot pay someone enough, or you cannot make someone care.
Yeah.
As a coach, you cannot, that's not something you find. You either do or you don't. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like,
and that's what I think, you know, like good coaching and a good affiliate really, it's all about like care. Yes. Like anybody can go work. Anybody can go do burpees in the garage. Like they don't need to pay $100 a month, whatever your affiliate charges to listen to loud music and sweat. Like, like you can do highly functional movement at your local high school track or college track. Like, but what you do go to CrossFit for, what you do go to class for, what you do go to your affiliate for and pay your monthly membership is to, you know, have a coach that supports you, work out with people next to you that are going to get through the same amount of work that you are, you know, high five people, get down, do the last few burpees with people. Like that's what CrossFit's all about. Yeah. And just to truly, truly just like care. Like, and I'll tell you what, like, I'm not going to lie too. And maybe you can relate to this. You know, my dad always brings up this analogy that like, if you're stressing out or if you're really anxious about something in life, like there's a decent chance that it's because all you're thinking about is yourself, 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 yourself. Yeah. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when you go and you do like, for example, when I train, I'll take like the 4 o'clock class. Like when I'm taking that class and I get to work out with somebody that's been doing CrossFit for 4 months, and you know, it's not all the time, but like being able to work out with them and just not worry about anything except encouraging them, like you can't help but not think about yourself. You're thinking about them. You're trying to get them through the workout. You're trying to encourage them. Like that makes you happy. Like that's such a huge concept in life, is like bringing up other people. Like that's what CrossFit's all about. So like in coaching, that's what's got to happen, I think.
Man, you just closed the loop of learning. You brought it all together. In coaching and life, it's about connecting. I started this podcast because it's all about connecting. Show people that you care. I say it to my students. I say it when I'm talking about physical therapy. Show people that you care. That's all it is at the end of the day. Show people that you care. Connect with people. That's what you're paying for when you pay to go to CrossFit. Like he just said, you know, my dude is an L2. He's running a box. Like he's with well within the community, a voice to be listened to. And he's spitting the truth there. You can go do this at home. You can follow Miranda Lambert's street parking if you want. Do it on your own. What you doing when you sign up for this stuff and you pay that monthly membership, you're paying for that community and that space, that time to connect with people. And that's what it's all about. That's why I brought Nicholas on the show, because he has this passion. He's connecting with people. He's following his happiness. He's living his best life and working towards living his best life. And that's what I want for all of you guys out there. And clearly that is what he wants for all of you guys out there and all the members at his gym too. So my dude, you've done the outro for me. Is there anything else that you want to say, you want to leave the people with?
Yeah. There is one more thing. So as you're closing off, and I think this is another great way to end off, is I know I'm fairly confident everybody out there listening can agree with me. Like when you look back on like, maybe not your, you know, your childhood, but like you look back on like a college memory or a high school memory or basically anything when you were like younger, you know, several years ago. I mean, how many of us have looked back and been like, wow, you know, I would do anything to go back and relive that and just appreciate it. And like, those were the days, like what, like, you know, every, you know, mm-hmm. you really value those memories. And I want, you know, and this is something I've been working on too. Like, just don't forget, everyone, that like that's happening right now. Like those memories and those things that you look fondly on, that you grew or you had fun or, you know, you really enjoyed where you were. Like that's right now. Like take it, like slow down, stop, look around and realize that like, you know,
that's it.
Don't take it for granted.
Be where your feet are. A wise man 100%. Said that, and then another wise man said it to me. Right? Be where your feet are. Listen to what he's saying, folks. He's speaking the truth. He's preaching. I got my hands up over here like I'm in church. I love it. He's speaking the truth. And this is the stuff that I want people to hear. It's real. It's coming from real people, and it's it's what's going to take you to the next level and move you forward and get you over those humps and get you through the tough times and get you kind of past the fear that stops us from living our best life, especially when sometimes you take a step back and realize that right now you may be, your best life may be right here and you're so busy looking forward that you're missing it, right? So be where your feet are. Nicholas, if folks want to contact you in any way, what can they do? You got an Instagram?
On Instagram, I'm under flannery.nicholas, just my name, last name first, .nicholas, F-L-A-N-N-E-R-Y .nicholas. And then my email is, you could use nick@fraternitygym.com. fraternitygym.com. And I would be more than happy to talk about any of this with anybody.
Absolutely. And, does your box have a social to follow?
Yeah, for sure. So our affiliate is, like you said before, it's Superhero CrossFit, but we're under the username Fraternity Gym. So Fraternity Gym. And you'll see us on there. We're pretty good about posting and having stories up and interacting. So give us a follow and we'll definitely,
If you guys, anyone out there looking to get stronger, if you're in Albany area, looking for a box, anything, this is the dude you want to hit up. I actually hit him up last year for my own shoulder stuff. And I was like, I need to have stronger shoulders. And listen, coaches need coaches, physical therapists need physical therapists. So I reached out and I was like, help me out. And he was like, carry this heavy thing over your head. And I was like, I don't want to do that. But I did it. And absolutely, he gave me some drills to do and very legit and things I wouldn't have done myself because they're not fun. But pointing out weaknesses and he's legit, my friends. You got questions, comments, concerns, direct them his way. I put them in the show notes, but again, on social media, it's @flannery.nicholas. His Instagram stories are hilarious. Some of the meals he makes, that avocado with salt and syrup. That looks good, man. I would do it. It's like sweet and savory, salt and savory.
Incredible.
I would do it. His email is nick@fraternity.com. And then that box, fraternitygym.com. Sorry, nick@fraternitygym.com. I'll write that down. And then his box is going to be @fraternitygym. Awesome stuff on all those platforms. Give it a look. Give it a check it out. Give it a check it out. It's proper grammar there, right? It's getting to be the end of the day here. Nick, my dude, thank you a million times over for coming on the show. You brought the fire. We've been trying to set this up for a bit, and I'm glad that it worked out because you have an amazing message to send. Your members are lucky to have you. I'm super stoked and pumped to see the future unfold for you because it's bright, my man. It's bright. So thank you a million times over. I know for sure that I will have you back on the show probably in a few months' time, where are they at now things, because this, like I said, the future is bright, my dude. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been awesome.
Today's parting words are going to be what his dad told him and then what he told us. Be where your feet are. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. If you like it, give us a follow, give us a shout out, give us a review. If you didn't like it, do the same thing. I want to bring the best content to you. Thanks for tuning in, my friends, Maestro and Nicholas Flannery, out.